The story you're about to hear is about evil and the perversion of medicine. It's about how society and researchers are culpable for the exploitation of science both then and now. You'll hear from two people.
My name is Susan Bachrach, and I'm curator of special exhibitions at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C.
Bachrach is curator of Deadly Medicine, Creating the Master Race. It's a traveling exhibition currently at the Countway Library on the campus of the Harvard Medical School. You'll also hear from this person.
My name is Irene Hizmi. I was born as Renata Gutmann, and I've survived the Holocaust.
Irene sits in a wheelchair today. She's frail, but full of vivacious good humor. She's put a bumper sticker on the back of her chair, and it says, "Life is uncertain. Eat dessert first."
We were born in Czechoslovakia, near Prague, in December 21, 1937.
Irene says we because she is a twin. She was born with the name Renata, and Rene was her twin brother.
And then in 1943, Rene and I and my mother were sent to Auschwitz.
Their father had been arrested 2 years earlier. When Irene and her brother were sent to Auschwitz, they were just 5 years old.
And about 3 months later, we were brutally torn from our mother. I can't remember it exactly. I just remember this piercing cry, and we never saw her again. And subsequently, I learned, probably not till 1985, that entire lager of 3,800 people was sent to the gas chambers, except for a few handful of twins and maybe some doctors and nurses.
So your mother was murdered then?
Yes. Well, because I was a twin, I now belong to the most exclusive club in the world, the Mengele Twins. And I became a human guinea pig.
Dr. Joseph Mengele was known as the Angel of Death. The Nazi doctor also had a particular fascination with the genetic origins of disease. Twins, with their shared genomes, but different environmental experiences, were the perfect experimental subjects. But what happened to Irene in 1943 was actually the apex of a long, calculated campaign that had sought a scientific justification for genocide for more than a generation. And it found it in 1933, when Adolf Hitler took power. Susan Bachrach reads the words of a major German psychiatrist, Dr. Ernst Rudin.
And he said in 1934, it was only through the political work of Hitler that the meaning of racial hygiene, as eugenics was known in Germany, has become publicly manifest in Germany. It's only due to him that our 30-year-old dream to put racial hygiene into practice has become a reality.
So a perverted medicine found its justification in politics. But it worked the other way around as well. Hitler found justification for his politics in medicine.
It's very important that people like scientists, important scientists, were now legitimizing and lending legitimacy to Nazi racial policies.
This is why the Deadly Medicine exhibit begins with events well before World War II. Before the Final Solution, first, there was the mass sterilization of more than 400,000 Germans, most of whom failed to pass intelligence tests. Then, a secret Nazi program of mass murder that began with children.
Hitler, by the way, had signed a note authorizing physicians to grant mercy death to incurably ill persons. And it was backdated to the beginning of the war, September 1st, 1939. So again, it's justified in terms of sacrifices for the fatherland in wartime.
The Nazis expanded on what they called their pediatric euthanasia program by building a half dozen gas chambers that were specially constructed in Germany to exterminate thousands of the mentally ill.
This program provides a model for the mass murder of Jews in gas chambers that are installed at Nazi camps in occupied Poland in 1942.
It was a huge barrack with, in the center was like a stove running the full length, and on either side there were bunk beds.
This was the world in which the then 5-year-old Irene Hizmi found herself when she was sent to Auschwitz in 1943.
I can't even describe how utterly lonely, and if I knew what it meant to die, I probably would have wished I could die.
But she was more valuable alive as a test subject for Dr. Joseph Mengele.
I do remember many, many visits to the doctor, and I remember injections and x-rays and blood being taken, especially from my neck, which was extremely painful.
So you said Dr. Mengele is, of course, Dr. Joseph Mengele.
Well, I don't even want to call him doctor.
Yeah.
To this day, I'm doctor-phobic. I mean, I hate doctors. I do.
Did you ever have any sense? I mean, how can a 5- and 6-year-old? Why they were doing this to you, taking these samples and
I had no idea. But, you know, as a 6-year-old, I also... going to sound really weird, but I wanted to be his favorite patient. I wanted him to like me. But I had no idea what was going on. I had no concept. I was hungry all the time. I was cold. I watched things that certainly no human being, but certainly children should not be exposed to. I can still remember how it was always so hazy in Auschwitz. There was always this smoke. There was always this smell, this acrid smell. I didn't know what it was till I overheard somebody saying, oh, they're burning people. Burning people. And it didn't even make sense to me.
How could it, really? How could any of it? The genocide, the mass sterilizations, the murder of disabled children. It all seems so morally reprehensible now, so historically remote. Except that it's not. Deadly Medicine, the exhibit that features Irene's story, is an exploration of the lengths a group will go to pursue genetic purity. The Holocaust Museum was inspired to create the display not by history, but by the present pace of genomics research. Research that is sure to transform human health for the better, but not without rigorous ethical oversight. Remembering what happens in the absence of such oversight is the reason why Scott Podolsky wanted to bring the Deadly Medicine exhibit to Harvard Medical School. He's the director of the Center for the History of Medicine at the Countway Medical Library.
I think this notion of the discrete nature of science versus ideology or the objectivity of science is false. I mean, I think values are always embedded in science. What is the nature of the better? It's a value judgment, and it's very hard to be purely, quote-unquote, objective and to easily say in the lab it's objective, and then when it's brought out into the real world, suddenly it has implications. That said, certainly technologies have and will outrace the implications of what we can do with those technologies, and we have to be very critical, and that's the role for the ethicists and all of us to really ponder the implications of what technologies we're creating.
Once again, Holocaust survivor Irene Hizmi.
I think medicine needs to combine the science that's coming out with humanism. If you take away the humanism, then you've got nothing. If you know, then you're on the slippery slope to what happened in Auschwitz. But you have to, as Maimonides said, you have to. A doctor needs to look at a patient as if that patient is himself, but he's suffering with an illness. And that's, you have to treat people with ethics. So that's my message.
Irene's story is just one of many featured in Deadly Medicine, Creating the Master Race. The exhibition is on display at the Countway Library at Harvard Medical School until mid-July. It's free and open to the public. There's more information at our website, radioboston.org.